good to all of us, amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Getting into the Christmas season, I was thinking about it as I was studying. Had one sermon already laid out, and I said, Lord, that's not it. You know, and God sent me back, and I'll be honest with you, you can take every place in this Bible and turn it into a Christmas sermon. Amen? Because He has been good to us. Amen. But Isaiah chapter 9 is a very familiar scripture, especially this time of year. Isaiah chapter 9, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful to Sunday school. Thank you for being faithful to church. I want to say thank you to our security team. So you can be safe here this morning. There are guys in the parking lot in the cold weather. Let them know you appreciate them. Let Sister Eileen know you appreciate what they're doing. Amen. Because they're doing that for us to keep us safe. Amen. I'll go ahead, while I'm on it, just go ahead and thank God for all of our first responders, our police officers, firemen, our military. Bless his heart, Tanner's seen more snow this year than he's seen in his whole life. Serving in the military for us. Amen. So make sure you let them know. And don't forget, we're going to be doing a gift basket for Brother Tanner, and we'll be sending that to him. If you can, let's start bringing some stuff. We'll give a designated area. If we have to send several boxes, that'll be fine. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Look at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour. Thank you, God, for the songs that's been sung. Thank you, God, for the sweet spirit that we can already feel here this morning, Lord. And I pray, God, as we get into this message right now, God, help us to, God, just to be able to preach it. Move me out of the way, God. It ain't about me. And God, help us, the Lord, just to be able to follow the spirit, God. And if there's one that's not saved, God, burden that heart. Help them to realize that today's the day of salvation. And whatever's done, we'll praise you and we'll honor you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever had somebody tell you, I got you a Christmas gift, but it hadn't came in yet? I ordered it, but it hadn't got here yet. Anybody, has that ever happened to anybody? Amen. I think we've all probably had that to happen, you know. So either last year or year before last, the Canadian government instituted a new system of their postal delivery. It was supposed to be more streamlined and efficient and quicker. Yet when Christmas Day arrived, there was all kind of Christmas presents still at the post office. Yeah. Because it didn't work. Hopefully they all got their Christmas presents. Now, we know that Christmas is about giving and receiving. Amen. We know that Jesus was made in the flesh. We understand. When we go back and study the Christmas story, we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He stepped out of eternity and stepped into time. Amen. We know that Jesus was a great teacher. We know that Jesus was a great healer. We know that Jesus was a great miracle worker. We know that he came to earth to die an awful death so that you and I didn't have to go to hell. We know that he rose on the third day. Amen. We know that he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And we know all this. We know all this because the Bible teaches us that. We know that the real gift of Christmas is Christ himself. Amen. Amen. We know that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But I want you to know something. There are some things that I've read this morning and never really looked at it like this, but there are some gifts that have not yet been delivered on Christmas. You bear with me while I try to go through this. These gifts ain't going to be brought by the postman. These gifts ain't going to be bought by by FedEx or UPS. These gifts are not going to be brought by Santa Claus. Amen. Jesus Christ is the one. Now, don't you notice verse 6. The Bible says in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It's the gift of his arrival. These verses make some great claims concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. A few were fulfilled when he was born in the manger, amen, but some of them have not been fulfilled yet. He will come again, amen. You got to understand, yes, he came, but we see this, and I thank the Lord for our nativity scenes and all that, but that ain't Jesus. That ain't Jesus. Jesus grew up 33 and a half years old. Hey, guess what? In heaven today, he still looks like he's 33 and a half years old. He still got all the scars that was on him at the cross. The Bible says that's the only thing in heaven that's made by man is the scars on Jesus. Amen. You got to understand the phrase, a child is born, identifies him as a man. Mary brought forth her firstborn son a little over 2,000 years ago. He was fully human. He knew pain. He knew sorrow. He knew loss. He knew grief. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. He knew weariness. He knew suffering. He knew everything that you and I had. Just because he was born of a virgin does not mean that he was not fully human. You got to understand, son, he was fully human and fully God all at the same time. Mary brought forth, the Bible talks about it in John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The phrase, a son is given, identifies him as God. God did not come to this world as a fully grown man. He could have if he'd have wanted to. He came as a little baby in a manger. And when we study this out, he came as a little baby in a manger to show us that, hey, he said, I'm going to do it just like you got to do it. Amen. But he came as God. And we know and we believe that. There's no debating on that. I'm not going to debate you on the scripture. I'm not going to debate you whether Jesus was God. I'm not going to debate you whether she was a virgin. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. And I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I believe it. You ain't going to change my mind, and I might not change your mind, so there ain't no need for us having no debate on it. Amen. You either believe it or you don't. They were not fulfilled. Some of these were not fulfilled when Jesus came. We know he was born as a baby. We know Jesus grew up in that household. We know that Jesus grew up the son of a poor carpenter. Amen. We know that Jesus, if you study the Bible, Jesus said the birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay. He didn't even own a house. But my God, he owned all of it. He didn't even own a supper table where he could sit down and eat. But my God, he fed 5,000 at one sitting. Don't you tell me he wasn't God. I'm telling you right now, all the gifts have not been fulfilled yet. All the gifts have not been delivered yet. When he comes again, glory to God, he's coming as a full-grown man. He's coming as a fully God. Nobody's going to dispute that. When he came the first time, Skip, he came in submission. When he comes the next time, he ain't going to be in the submission to nobody. Amen. Come on. I feel like preaching now. Praise God. He's coming, y'all. He's coming. It's going to be fulfilled, David, at his second coming. That's the promise. Listen to some of the promises that he gives us in his word. John chapter 14, verse 3, and I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man hath come in his glory and the holy angels with him, he shall sit at the throne of glory. Behold, he cometh in clouds. Every eye shall see him. They that also pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 1, 7. Revelation 2, verse 25, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keep us his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Revelation 16 and Revelation 22 verse 20 says, he which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. He's coming. And he ain't coming as no baby, and he ain't coming in submission, and he ain't coming to Bethlehem, glory to God. When he comes back, he's coming back riding a white horse. He's coming back, hey, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, every gift ain't been delivered yet. Every gift ain't been delivered yet. His arrival, he will come again. Amen. His arrival. Now let's look at the gift of his acknowledgement. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah tells us that when Christ comes, he's going to be given many titles. Hey, when he came as a babe in a manger, what did they say? Ain't you that carpenter's boy? You the son of Mary and Joseph, ain't you? When he was 12 years old, he was outsmarting all the scholars at the temple. You that little fellow from Nazareth, ain't you? But when he comes back, he ain't coming back as no carpenter. Glory to God. The Bible says he's coming back. The word wonderful means supernatural or secretive or extraordinary. He was the miracle man. Glory to God. Hey, I'm telling you, he was wonderful to Lazarus. Amen. Everybody else done counted him out. Hey, his own brother, his own sister said, he's dead. He stinks by now. Jesus walks up to the tomb, says, Lazarus, come forth. Guess what? Lazarus got up and walked out of the tomb. He was wonderful to Lazarus. He was wonderful to blind Bartimaeus. Jesus walking down the street, blind Bartimaeus, ain't seen a day in his life. He said, what's happening? They said, Jesus is coming. He said, see, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They said, hold your peace. And the Bible said he cried louder, and Jesus healed him. He was wonderful to blind Bartimaeus. He was wonderful to the ten lepers, and even only one of them came back. He was wonderful to the woman with the issue of blood. Amen. How many today can say, he's been wonderful to me? Amen. He's been a supernatural God to me. He has showed up when everybody else walked out. He showed up when the doctor said nothing could be done. He showed up and blessed. Hey, he's supernatural. He's been wonderful to me. You wonder why I come to church and act like I do? Because he's been wonderful to me. All it takes is one time when you got a child burning up with a fever and the wonderful name of Jesus shows up and takes care of it, you ain't got a problem raising your hand then, amen? He was wonderful. The Bible says he is counselor. This word means to advise or to counsel with a purpose or devise a plan. It refers to his role as a leader or the guiding force in my life. Glory to God. Guess what? He's been a counselor to me. He has led me and he has guided me. Amen. Psalms 37 verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. The word counselor. He was a counselor to Peter. He was a counselor to James. He was a counselor to John. He was a counselor to Paul. He's been a counselor to Robert. He's been a counselor to Tommy. He's been a counselor to every last one of us in here. Amen. If you've been saved for any amount of time, he's been a good counselor. David was talking about it this morning in Sunday school. Now, I know y'all ain't as big a heathen as I am. I know y'all hole in. Like David said this morning, you tucked your angels in your coat and left your halo in the car. Ever got ready to do something stupid? And something told you no? Somebody ought to shout it out because he's a counselor. You said that was the Holy Ghost. Hey, that's just the third part of the Trinity, glory to God. We ain't going to split apples and split hairs on that, glory to God. It's all Jesus, amen. He's been a counselor. But the Bible says he's also the mighty God. If you break that down, that basically means a hero. Or somebody that's strong. somebody that's mighty or somebody that's invincible. And let me go ahead and tell you something. He's worthy of our praise because he's defeated every enemy. He is my hero because he defeated every enemy. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. You know, I like these movies, and I like the comics and all the supernatural superhero stuff. My one of my favorites is Superman. Glory, Superman flies around at the speed of a bullet. I mean, strong. But guess what? Superman's got kryptonite. Jesus ain't got no kryptonite. My God, when he died on the cross, that took care of everything. There ain't nothing that can make him weak. There ain't nothing that can. The Bible tells us he defeated sin in Romans chapter 6. He defeated Satan in Genesis chapter 3. He defeated the grave in Matthew chapter 28 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He defeated hell in John chapter 28. Glory to God. He defeated every enemy that you and I got. That's why he's my hero. Amen. You know, over the years, and I don't know, I can go back to the early 80s. We kind of laugh about it this morning. And I like cutting up. I like having a good time in church. I look back and see Benji wearing that shirt. Back in the early 80s, the hero was George Rogers. I mean, George Rogers was running all over everybody. Amen. Then you move on a little bit more, and for Clemson, the hero was, some of them on the championship team. Some of them, William the Refrigerator Perry. And then you move on down the line, come up to the modern day. Yesterday, the hero was David's cousin, Sellers. But you know what? That's a young man. That's a great athlete, but give him about 10 years. Most people won't even know his name. But my God, I got a hero. I got a hero. It's been over 2,000 years, and he ain't got old yet. It's been over 2,000 years. Hey, George Rogers can't hardly walk around today. William Perry can't hardly make it around today without a walker. But glory to God, Jesus ain't never. If Jesus is anything else, he's faster now than he ever was. He's the mighty God. And that's a gift that has not been brought yet. He's sitting on the throne, but one day he's coming back. Whew. When he comes back, the Bible says he's going to be the everlasting Father. He's everlasting. I am that I am. Not I was that I was, or I is that I is, or I'm going to be that I'm going to be. I am that I am. That transcends all of time. I'm telling you right now, like I said, Jesus has not missed a step. God has not missed a step. The Holy Ghost has not missed a step. He's still God. He's still sitting on the throne. As the Father, he loves us. Amen. The Bible teaches that. As the Father, he supports us. Amen. As the Father, he sustains us. As the Father, he provides for us. Glory to God, I'm glad he is my everlasting Father. Bible says he's the Prince of Peace. You see, understand something. All these, Christians, you and I can take that and say he's that now. And he is. But the great gift ain't been given yet. When he comes back, he's going to be that to everybody. He's going to rule in peace. If he's the creator of peace, he can rule in peace. As I was studying this, Jackie, my mind went to when they was out on the water, Jesus was asleep. The Bible says there was a great storm. Jesus was saying, they come to Jesus, don't you even care about us? We're getting ready to drown. We're getting ready to die. Jesus just stepped out and said, peace, be still. If he can do that to the storm, he can do that for you. He can calm every storm in your life. He can calm everything going on in your life today. He is the Prince of Peace. Whew. See, one day he's going to come back and set up his government. When we talk about Jesus now, I was watching something this morning on one of the, I didn't actually watch it, but it was one of the YouTube things. one of these guys that was debating the Bible with atheists or whatever, and he said that the Bible was foolish. They laugh at the name of Jesus now. Jesus' name is used as a byword now. They curse God and they mock God and they make fun. And David talked about this morning how that the Methodist church is ordaining homosexuals. Now, all that, they're blaspheming God. But one of these days when he comes back and he sets up his government, all that's going to be done away with, amen? You understand something? He comes back, it's going to be different. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, amen? His gift, his arrival, his acknowledgement, amen? But don't you notice the gift of his advancement? Verse 9, verse 7 says this, of the increase of his government and peace there should be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with the judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah tells us that when the Lord comes back, one of the gifts that he's going to be given is he's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He ain't going to be voted on. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. I don't believe the Antichrist is going to be voted on either, but he's on his way too. But when Jesus comes back riding on that white horse, all the voters is going to be done. There won't never be another vote taken on anybody on who's going to rule this world, amen? He is going to come back. He is going to set it up. And glory to God, he's going to reign and rule with perfect righteousness. Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and his throne. Revelation chapter 19, verse 15 and 16 says this. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of his fierceness, the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his name a written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His disciples were taught to pray as this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That gift has not been delivered yet, but it will. It will. You go ahead and mark that down. He's coming. Praise God. When he's coming, he's going to set it up. Amen. He's going to set it up. Jesus is going to be the leader of the world. You can either acknowledge him now or acknowledge him then. You can either serve him now or serve him then. You understand? You going, well, I'm not going, I ain't never bowing down to nobody. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. I ain't never going to acknowledge Jesus. Oh, yes, you will. You can either do it now or do it then. It's your choice. The gift of his arrival, the gift of his acknowledgement, the gift of his advancement, and the gift of his achievement. Now listen to this. Isaiah tells us that when he comes, he's going to rule with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. Let me go ahead and just break this down for some of y'all that don't know what's going on. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene. The Bible talks about the tribulation period, and I ain't got time to get into all that. But after the tribulation period, there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign where Jesus Christ comes back and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. After that, the Bible says Satan's going to be loose for a short season. Then he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, glory to God. Amen. And Jesus is going to set up. The Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And the only one's going to be in charge, Brother Ronnie, is him. Amen. It's him. See, look at where we're at now. And I don't know how you voted. It really don't matter. I'm hoping and praying that when the next administration goes in, things get a little better for Americans. Amen. It ain't going to get no better for the world. Might not get no better for Americans. Amen. I mean, look where we're at. We got crime everywhere. Like me and David was talking about this morning. You know, you heard about all the homosexuals and all the perverts and all that. That was in New York and California. It's here now. It's here now, amen. There ain't no peace in Israel. There ain't no peace in Washington. There ain't no peace in this world. There's war. We got racial tensions. We got crime. We got all this stuff happening. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the angels rejoiced that the Christ child would bring peace. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That hadn't come yet, but it's coming. Almost like you, when your mama said, I ordered your gift, it ain't got here yet, but it's coming. Some of us know what that's talking about. Some of us has been there when everybody else on Christmas opened up their presents. And it's kind of like this for us in our family. A lot of times, you know, my wife, and we'll get gifts for some of our nieces and great nieces and whatever, and we don't get to see them until after Christmas. On Christmas Day, they have Christmas at their house. They're happy and they're just bouncing all over the place, having a great time, amen? Then a couple of weeks later, when Uncle Timmy and Aunt Joanne show up, guess what? They're getting ready to have Christmas again. You and I as Christians, Chucky, we can enjoy those gifts right now. He is Prince of Peace in my life. He is the mighty counselor. He is the everlasting God. He is the one. He is my superhero right now. But when he comes, it's going to be like getting saved all over again. The Bible says we're going to rule and reign with him. Amen. There's some gift that ain't been delivered yet, but I'm just going to tell you right now, if you're not saved, it's going to be bad. As good as it is for us as Christians, it's going to be that bad for those that's not ready for him. See, the sad fact of the matter is everybody don't go to heaven. I don't care what they tell you at the funeral. I don't care what they tell you on TV. I don't care what. Everybody don't go to heaven. And when the rapture takes place, everybody ain't being called out. If you go back and look at Revelation 21, verse 8, and you go back and look, study our Sunday school lesson from this morning, there's folks that ain't going. And you know what the main reason for them not going? Not because they're homosexual, not because they're adulterers, not because they're fornicators. It's because they refuse the gift of Jesus Christ. Have you received Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you know that you know that you know that if something were to happen to you right now, heaven would be your home? If there's any doubt whatsoever, I don't care if you're a church member, I don't care if you're 70 years old, I don't care if you're 10 years old, if there's any doubt whatsoever, get on this altar and make it right. I'm sure between now and Christmas, I'll preach on unopened gifts. How stupid would that be? Now you said that ain't politically correct. Well, I ain't a politician, praise God. How stupid would that be for me to get Robert Lloyd a big gift, put it under that tree, and Robert said, nah, I don't want that. That's what you're saying this morning when you refuse Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, Dale, but have everlasting life. I want you to bow your heads with me.